All right. So part of the passage I want to focus on tonight is beginning in verse number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh not, that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And this the part of the passage I want to focus on here, talking about Abraham being not justified by works. He was justified by faith, and it justifieth the ungodly. His faith was counted for righteousness. The title of my sermon tonight is "The Repent of Your Sins, False Gospel." The Repent of Your Sins, False Gospel. I bring you this passage tonight because right here it's very clear that Abraham was not justified by works. He was justified by faith alone, not of works, not in circumcision, but actually in uncircumcision. And it goes on in verse 6, it says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." So right there, it's spelled out plain and clear that, you know, it's unto him, righteousness is without works. It's without works by faith alone. And that's what the Bible teaches. We're going to look and see what the Bible teaches. But there's these people out there, and there's people you knock on their doors, and they'll tell you that it's of works. And that's all that repenting of your sin salvation is work salvation. Because that's what they're trusting in. They're trusting in themselves turning away from their works and, you know, living some righteous life before God. But you know what? That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is just trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you and his finished work. So turn with me to Acts chapter 19. You know, these people, they'll always talk about John the Baptist. And they'll say, "Well, John the Baptist preached repent of your sins." You know, it's like, man alive, you don't know the Bible very well. But Acts chapter 19, I had to turn there. I'm going to read Mark chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." So John the Baptist right here says he preached repentance for the remission of sins. Now, so you see, right there says he's preached repenting your sins. But do you see, did you hear that I said repenting your sins anywhere in that verse? It says he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It doesn't say he preached repenting your sins. So they're wrong on that. Now, I had you turn to Acts chapter 19, and look, we'll see exactly what John preached in verse number 4. It says in verse 4, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which had come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Now, that sounds like the gospel that we preach, right? You know, that you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. It doesn't say anywhere that John, you know, it said stop sinning, or go to church, or quit smoking. It doesn't say any of that. You know, John the Baptist was preaching the same gospel that Jesus Christ preached, the same gospel that Paul preached, the same gospel that we preach, which is just by faith alone. That's all it is. But still, these people, they'll get up and they'll say, you know, they'll call us heretics. They'll say, these people are easy believism. You know, they're the once saved, always saved crowd that, you know, believes it's just by believing and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, amen. I like being called that. Because you know what? The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, so people, he wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And therefore, he made salvation easy. He didn't make it hard. You know, repenting of your sins is very hard. I mean, these people, and I've been to these churches, you know, that preach this. I visited a bunch of churches before I came to Faithful Word in my area. You know, I was at a church that actually preached the right gospel half the time. And, you know, it was crazy, but I got tired of it. And so I started church hopping, is I guess you could call it. And I couldn't find a church that preached the right gospel. And I found some that really preached hardcore repent of your sins salvation. And it was crazy. But these people, they're not happy people. They're judging everybody. They're judging, you know, each other, you know, because they're looking to see if you're saved, because they're basing off of what you do. It's like, man, alive, miserable people. But turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, further down in Mark chapter 1, Jesus actually preached, you know, he said to repent. But look at what he said in verse 14. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So right here, they'll say, hey, look, Jesus preached repent of your sins. But it just says, repent ye and believe the gospel. You know, the word repent does not mean turn from sin. These people just add that on, and they want to act like that every time in the Bible where it says repent, that's talking about repenting of your sins. And that's just not true. That's not what the word means. The word means to just, you know, turn, or, you know, do like an about face, to repent. It doesn't mean to turn from sin. They're adding that on, from sin. You know, we're going to look at that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I had you turn there. It says in verse number 8, it says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So right here, we see that these people, they turn to God from idols. Now, this is a correct definition of repenting, is they believed in a false God, and they turned to the true God, Jesus Christ. They turned from those idols that they worshiped to God, and they were saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they served the living and the true God. And then in verse 8, it also says, your faith to Godward. So their faith was to Godward. That's what it was. They changed what they believed. They turned from believing in idols into believing in the true God. They didn't turn from their works, from their sin. Nobody can turn from all their sins. It's impossible. You know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We still, when we get saved, we still have the old man. The old man still resides in us. And it will until we get that new body one day. You know, we're always going to have the old man. It's always going to strive with the new man. And we're still going to sin. You know, people that think that they're without sin are heretics. You know, and you see these people, and they're not saved. They think they're better than everybody else. And it's like, I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I know that I was a sinner, and I was saved by grace. You know, and we need to have that attitude. But these people, they preach this, and it really makes me angry because they deceive so many people. When I get into the rest of this sermon, you'll see that the majority of false religions are teaching this heresy. They're teaching a false gospel, and it's related directly to repenting of your sins. So turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Let's prove a little further in the Bible what the Bible teaches about repenting, what it is, what the word means. I'm going to read a verse in Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 17. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So God right here, he's saying, lest the people repent and they see when they see war and return to Egypt. So God doesn't want them to return to Egypt, and that's what he's saying. Lest they repent, lest they turn around and go back to Egypt. You know, that's what God's saying. That's what the word repent is meaning. We're seeing it in the context. Another verse in Jeremiah says, chapter 4, verse 28 says, for this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. So it seems pretty clear that the word repent, you know, is directly related with turning or a change in direction. But not, it's not tied with sin, as these people do, as these people will say. Look down at Jonah chapter 3, where I had you turn. Now this one I think God put in the Bible just to make these people you know, frustrated. And Jonah chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?" So right here, God is the one turning and repenting and turning away from his fierce anger. And we'll get into this later, but these modern versions of the Bible remove these passages that talk about God repenting. I'll get into that later. Look down at the Bible, verse number 10. It says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil." So God's repenting again. But notice in verse 10, the first part, it says, "God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way." So right here, you know, we're talking about repenting of sin. These people turned from their evil way, and what does God call it? God calls it works. It's works salvation to turn from your evil way. You know, if you're turning a new leaf and thinking that you're saved, you know, you're not saved. Because, you know, that I would mean every drug addict that goes to, you know, the anonymous meetings and they get recovered from whatever, that means that they're saved because they stopped sinning. It's like, no, that's not salvation. These people that go to the AA meetings, they overcome alcohol and all this stuff, they're not, that's not salvation, but it is a good thing. I mean, they overcame it, but you know what? Jesus Christ can help you overcome those things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Get saved and get into church, listen to the preaching, take heed to those things that are written therein. That's how you get right. But these people think that, hey, you got to do this to be saved. This is your way to heaven. I mean, I don't know about you, but it really ticks me off to think that there's people standing in pulpits preaching that you have to turn from your sins to be saved. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's not taught in the Bible. And half of these people that preach this are preaching it from a King James Bible. It's like, how do they get it? How do they get that from Romans chapter 4? Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Read Galatians chapter 2. They don't get it from there either. So, I didn't really mean for you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. But let's see. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Actually, I didn't finish in Jonah. So it says, "And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." So God repented again. So God's repenting. So therefore, repent in the Bible is not talking about repenting of sin, because God repents more than anybody in the entire Bible. In the Old Testament, he repents more than anybody in the entire Bible. I mean, it's found 104 times in the entire Bible, and I want to say 36 of those mentions in the Old Testament are God repenting. So, you know, God must be really sinful. No, that's not true. God's not, he doesn't sin. He's without sin. He's perfect. So, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So right here, it's very clear, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You see, God gave us salvation by grace. I had you turn to Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if you're getting something and it's a free gift, then you don't have to do anything for it. It's pretty basic. We explain this to people out soul winning. The gift of God is free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to, you know, go out and, I don't know, whatever they think you have to do. You don't have to do that. You just have to receive that free gift of God. And it's by grace, so it's something you don't deserve. This is my point, is if you did something to earn your salvation, then you do deserve it, right? If you could earn your salvation, and there was a way to earn it, and you did whatever it was that you had to do to earn salvation, then you deserved it. It wouldn't be of grace. Grace would be of none effect, because then you earned your salvation. I mean, it's by grace. It can't be repenting your sins, because that's not by grace. Repenting your sins is false. It's a false doctrine. These people want to preach this. It's mind-blowing. But it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now notice verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And these repent of your sins people, they'll preach this repent of your sins, and then they get hung up on if people are really saved. You know, they'll say, oh, well, this guy, he's still doing this. You know, I don't know if he's really saved. And then they're all mixed up on eternal security and all these other things. But the Bible says in verse 10, you know, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, what does the word should mean? It doesn't mean that you have to. It doesn't say that we have to walk in them. It says we should walk in them. It's a choice. You have to make a choice to do good works. Like it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. We should walk in good works. It's going to be pleasing to our Father in heaven. But do we all walk and do good works? Do we all do that? No. You know why? Because we're sinners. You know, we haven't repented of all our sins. No, that's not the case. You know, it's by faith, and we should want to please our Father and do good works, but we don't have to, or therefore it wouldn't be by grace, you know? So I think it's pretty clear. I think we've proven that the Bible teaches that salvation is by faith alone. These passages teach that, you know, turning from God to from idols and that repent just means to turn, you know, stop believing in a false God and turn to God. You know, whatever it is, you know, somebody that doesn't believe in a false God, well, guess what? All they got to do is believe. You know, just believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, that's what the man said to Jesus when he wanted his son healed. He just said, help thou mine unbelief. You know, and he healed his son, cast the devils out of him. But turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1. Actually, I'm going to turn to Galatians chapter 2 because I mentioned that. And I just wanted to look at it real quick. If you can turn over there with me if you want. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 3 says, but neither Titus, who is with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, right here, we shouldn't give them place, no, not for an hour. If you find out that somebody believes in this junk, we shouldn't give them place. Right here in this passage, they were adding circumcision to salvation. They were saying you have to be circumcised. And it's kind of applicable because circumcision was a private thing, right? So people repenting of their sins is kind of like a private thing, I guess you could say. But they're not required for salvation, these two things. You know, and false brethren do come in unawares, and they preach this junk. And, you know, people don't get saved. People are not receptive to this gospel. You know, the people that preach this preach it real subtly. They're not like come right out in the open and preach it. It's interesting. We're going to look at that. My second point here is the false prophets. So my first point was just how, you know, what the Bible teaches about repentance, about the word, about repenting your sins. It's not found in the Bible. But number two is the false prophets. So I had you turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. If you went to 2, flip back over. It says in verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And so these people, they do come in, they sound like they preach the right gospel, they're subtle about it, they creep in unawares, and then they preach, it's almost not another gospel, they just change it a little bit. Oh, they add in this repenting your sins, but it makes it another gospel. Because that's not the gospel, that's not good news. You go to somebody's door and you say, hey, I got some good news for you. If you want to go to heaven, all you got to do is stop sinning. Man, ain't that great news? Man, I mean, shouldn't we all go? It's like, no, that's not salvation. That's not good news. That's not the gospel. Good news is you can come to Jesus as you are, and you can accept that gift of eternal life by faith, just by believing. You know, Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. You know, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Doesn't say that you have to go to church. Doesn't say you have to stop sinning. It says you have to believe. So these false prophets, they come in. They try to teach another. They come in subtly. They creep in. And let's just look at some of these false prophets. I have some excerpts from some places online, you know, prominent places. Number one is the Southern Baptist Convention. The Amen. Southern Baptist Convention here. Amen. This is an article online. It's on their main website. It's called How to Become a Christian. How to Become a Christian. And I just have an excerpt from it here. It says, God brought Jesus back from the dead. He provided the way for you to have a personal relationship with him through Jesus. When we realized how deeply our sin grieves the heart of God and how desperately we need a Savior, we are ready to receive God's offer of salvation. To admit we are sinners means turning away from our sin and selfishness and turning to follow Jesus. The Bible word for this is repentance. To change our thinking about how grievous sin is, so our thinking is in line with God's. Are you ready to accept the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ is offering you right now? Let's review and see what this commitment involves. So right there, it was really, really vague, but it did say turning away from our sin and selflessness to turning to follow Jesus. Now look at this. So it's kind of subtle right there. Still, in my mind, that's not subtle. You know, turning away from sin, ding, ding, ding. That's wrong. But right here, it says, let's review what the commitment involves. Now listen to their points. It says, I acknowledge I am a sinner in need of a Savior. This is to repent or turn away from sin. How does acknowledging that you're a sinner, how does that equate with repenting or turning away from sin? I mean, no, in no way, shape, or form, doesn't even make sense. It's like, what in the world? Like, anybody reading this is falling off their rocker if they believe that. No offense. But it says, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is to trust that Jesus paid the full penalties for my sin. I confess Jesus as my Lord and my God. This is to surrender control of my life to Christ, to Jesus Christ. So now you have to repent, turn away from your sins, surrender your whole life to Jesus Christ. I mean, I guess you're going to be a full-time evangelist. Only the people that are doing this are saved. You know, the ones that are full-time. You know, they quit their jobs and all they do is preach and go around the world. I mean, according to that, that's what that's saying. I mean, that's how I take it. I mean, I work day job. I guess I'm not going. But this is ridiculous. This is a Southern Baptist convention. I mean, you know how many Southern Baptist churches there are in America? This is ridiculous. And these people are tied to these conventions and their hands are tied. I mean, what in the world, dude? Get out of there. It's like, don't go to these places. I mean, unless that's what they believe, then let them be accursed. I don't want no part of them. So that one is clear as day that these people don't believe the true gospel. They believe in repenting your sins. Now, this is a Southern Baptist convention, so it's not an independent Baptist. These people answer to an authority structure, whatever. But let's just look at the local church Bible publishers. Anybody heard of that? Local church Bible publishers? I ordered a Bible from them. Actually, you know what? I think this Bible came from there. But anyways, this was a long time ago. I haven't had this Bible in a while. So, but the thing is, when I got this Bible, they had a bunch of literature they threw in the box, you know? And so, just out of curiosity, I took a look at it. And guess what? Even then, this was probably 7 years ago, I said, man, this is the wrong gospel. You know, 7 years ago, I was just starting to listen to Pastor Anderson, and I was like, man, I've listened to certain, that's wrong. You know, and I knew this from a child. But, you know, I always wasn't in church. But then I read that, and then I even heard Pastor Anderson mention it one time about this place. But it's under an independent Baptist church, local church, Bible Publishers. It's somewhere in Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, I believe. But listen, this is under their statement of faith. I mean, this is not even in it being hid anywhere in some article. This is like right there. Hey, what we believe. Article number 7 under their statement of faith, of repentance and faith is the title. It says, we believe that repentance and faith are solemn obligations and also inseparable graces wrought in our souls by the quickening Spirit of God. Thereby, we being deeply convicted of our guilt, danger, and helplessness in the way of salvation by Christ, we turn to God with unfeigned contrition, confession, and supplication for mercy. I mean, man alive, this is some serious sorrow you're feeling. I mean, my son was saved at 6 years old, and I don't think he had to feel that sorry. I mean, man alive, what all did he do when he was a child that he had to, like, grovel at the feet? It's like, no, he realized he was a sinner and that it was a free gift, and he's like, hey, I like gifts. I'll take that. That's for sure. I mean, anybody that understands that, children understand it the best. I mean, we all know that, out soul winning. But it goes on, it says, at the same time, heartily receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and openly confessing him as our only and all-sufficient Savior. But right there, it has all these long words, being deeply convicted of our guilt, danger, and helplessness. So you have to be convicted of all this stuff. I thought you just had to realize you were a sinner. I thought it was just, you know, believe you're a sinner, you know, realize God paid the penalty for your sins, and then accept him as your Lord and Savior, you know? But you have to have some serious guilt, danger of helplessness. I mean, some people you do have to convict. You have to pull them out of the fire. But does everybody have to do that? Some people just receive it gladly. I mean, the parable of the sower, some people just received it gladly, right? Is that not the truth? It says, but remember how I said these people, they preach this, and then they're mixed up on eternal security. They're mixed up on other things. So I kept reading in their statement of faith, and this is what I found. Now, keep in mind, this is underneath a Baptist church. This is the ministry, and it's article number 15, and it says, of perseverance of the saints. Now, does that sound like a Baptist doctrine? Perseverance of the saints? What does that sound like? Calvinists, right? Listen to it. We believe that such only are real believers as endure unto the end. That their preserving attachment to Christ is the grand mark which distinguishes them from superficial professors. So, man, if you don't endure to the end, you are not saved. That's what they say. I mean, this is incredible that they just openly profess this in their statement of faith. And that's awesome because I will never buy anything from that place again. That's for sure. Amen. I'm not going to buy anything from there. I'm just sending out tracts and whatever with a false gospel on them. They ain't getting my money. I'll go down to Barnes & Noble and buy a book. Buy a Bible there. I don't know a whole lot about them. So right here, local, I mean, this is independent Baptist right here. And we have tons of independent Baptists that teach this. Like I said, I went to one of these churches, and he preached it. He's actually even on Pastor Anderson's repentance blacklist. I didn't even know that until after I went there. But his name was Dino Hatem, and it was hardcore. He even had Phil Kidd come and speak at some... anybody know who Phil Kidd is? A couple people? Phil Kidd, he's this evangelist. He's like a MMA, like, evangelist type. He's a whack job. But he gets up there, man, screaming and hollering. Looks like he's going to run out of breath. You know, the typical old IFB, like... camp meeting preacher, and he is hardcore repenting your sins. You got to have signs that you've been saved to change your life. No, you don't. So the next one on the list, you know, so that kind of put me into this Calvinist mood, and so I turned in to look at some Calvinists. So I pulled up John MacArthur, you know, the famous Calvinist. So on his website, gracetoyou.org, it says, under what we teach, it says, the character of saving faith. True faith is always accompanied by repentance from sin. Repentance is agreeing that God that you are sinful, confessing your sins to him, and making a conscious choice to turn from sin and pursue Christ and obedience to him. It isn't enough to believe certain facts about Christ. Man, if he would have just left out that part that says certain facts, it would say, it isn't enough to believe about Christ. It's like, man, this guy right here, and this guy's huge. He's making millions, you know? And that's the thing. These guys are greedy of filthy lucre. That's all they're about. They're all about money. They want your money, and they want to live in these big houses and have their fancy cars, and everybody worship them. You know, it's crazy. But it goes on, and it says, even Satan and his demons believe in the true God. Well, they believe there's one God, but they quote that one wrong. But they don't love and obey him. The true saving faith always responds in obedience. So I guess all those people that we get saved and they never get baptized, they're not saved. Because the true saving faith always responds in obedience. And we know you're obeying God when you go and get baptized. He wants us to be baptized. So everybody that's not baptized, so then you can just throw in, you know, you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. You got to turn from all your sins. You got to endure until the end. You got to do all these things to be saved. It's a big mess of work salvation. Repent of your sins is false. Amen. Right. It goes on. Don't stop here. We're going to keep going. It says, have you repented? Oh, wait a minute. No, this is a different one. This is a different one. This one, okay. This one is everybody's favorite. This is Billy Graham. You know, and Billy Graham, you know, he's dead now. He realizes that he was wrong. You know? BillyGraham.org. True repentance, real change. That's the title of the article. I mean, do we even have to read it? True repentance, real change. I mean, what is it saying? What do you think this article says? I'm going to read it anyways. It says, have you repented? Have you changed? Is your life different from how it used to be? God commands you to repent. God's commands to repent are not capricious. Whatever that word means. Is it not that he wants to see people groveling in subjection before him? In his imperative call for people to repent, he has their welfare and happiness as his motive. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Repentance is a necessary step to salvation. You know, he's saying you have to have a changed life. You have to be different from how you used to be. You know, God's commands to repent are not capricious. Whatever capricious is. I think I looked it up, but I can't remember. I didn't write it down. It wasn't relevant. So, have you repented? Have you changed? Have you changed? I mean, if we want to live under Christ, we want to receive rewards, obviously we need to strain some things up in our lives. But guess what? That's not what gets you to heaven. And so these people are all wrong. They're preaching a false gospel. They're false prophets. We need to mark them and avoid them. You know, there's other false prophets. I'll just name a few. Ray Comfort. Way the Master, that ministry is all a bunch of false prophets. If you go watch their YouTube videos, man, it'll really make you mad. I went with a soul winning with a guy at that church where that guy preached hardcore repenting of your sins. And he was my soul winning partner one time. That'll never happen again. And he got up, got to this door, and I was like, man, he's starting to sound like Ray Comfort. He was telling this lady, she's like, hey, he's like, have you ever lied? And she's like, yeah. And then he said, have you ever stolen anything? And she's like, yeah. And he keeps asking her all these different sins. Just all these different sins. And he's like, so you're a lying, thieving, fornicating, murder, I mean, all this stuff. And then he just keeps railing on this girl, and like she's in tears. And I was like, I broke the silent partner rule. I was like, whoa, boom, moved him out of the way. I really did. And I was like, don't listen to this guy. He's off his rocker. I gave her, I tried to give her what I could, salvage it a little bit. But she for sure knew that I didn't believe that. And so I headed straight for my truck, and this guy was yelling at me the whole way back. I mean, he was like possessed with devils or something. Yeah. And I was like, dude, go on. You know, leave me alone. I'm going home. I'm not going with you. That's for sure. And I didn't go back to that place after that. I was like, whew. I went there a couple times to that place until I figured it out. But, man, that's why I'm here, because these places are crazy. People think I'm crazy for moving here, but I love this place. You know, you get good doctrine, you get a fellowship with people that like to go out soul winning. I mean, it's great. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. I'll name a couple of other false prophets. You know, like Kirk Cameron, his buddy, Ray Comfort's buddy, Kirk Cameron, teaches all this. Charles Spurgeon, the Independent Baptist's favorite name to drop. Lester Roloff, their hero, he preached repent of your sins. Obviously, Keith Gomez, but we know his daddy was a boxer, so you don't have to worry about him. Paul Washer, Joel Osteen, I mean, the list goes on. These people, they're all, you know, out to get your money. That's all they're doing. And lead people astray, lead them to hell. That's what they're doing. There's a big list. It's called repentanceblacklist.com. Courtesy of Pastor Anderson. Go look at it. It's awesome. So turn with me to Matthew 27. It says in Matthew 27, I had you turn, verse number 3. Verse number 3. So this brings me to my third point. You know, these modern versions, they promote, you know, repenting of your sins. You know, maybe not out in the open, but they do with what they change these Bibles to read. We're just going to look at a few things. It says in Matthew 3, it says, then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. So right here, Judas, we see he repented himself. He brought again those 30 pieces. He sought repentance. But guess what? Judas went out and hung himself. He was an unsaved man. He didn't get saved. He all he did right here was he repented by going and giving the money back. That's what he did. He's like, oh, he turned back and went and gave him the money back. Does that make him go to heaven? No. No, Judas was a devil from the beginning. I mean, he was possessed with Satan himself. I mean, he was the son of perdition. So Judas was a devil from the beginning. He wasn't saved. But my point is here, according to these, repenting your sins places, Judas was saved. I mean, they may not claim that, but that's what they would be teaching. So, but these new modern versions of the Bible, they corrupt the Bible. They're perversions. They're not versions. These are perversions of the Bible. They're not translations. They're interpretations. That's what they are. But it says, here I have three different versions of the Bible. I have the New King James Version, because some people will say, whoa, the New King James, you know, it's just without the these, the thous. But man, they change a lot of doctrine in there. Amen. And it's not the same. Things that are different are not the same. It says in Matthew 27:3, look down at your Bible. It says, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. So what did they remove? They removed repent from the verse. They just took it out. Because guess what? They don't want Judas to be saved. They're taking out repent because then that would teach that Judas was saved. And we know that Judas was unsaved. It's without a doubt. But it goes on in the ESV. It says, then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders. It's like, well, that's funny because they just changed the same spot. They just put it a little different. Everything else looks about the same. They just change in one area. So it's like they have a common theme. They're trying to get rid of repenting in the Bible because It's their goal. They don't take all of it out. They just take the parts out that that messes up their doctrine. The NIV, the most popular of the perversions of the Bible, says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. So all of them right here just completely remove the word repent. They do away with it. Now I have some stats here. The King James Version has the word repent in it 104 times. 104 times. 44 of those mentions are in the Old Testament. 32 of those times are God repenting. Now, conveniently, all of these perversions of the Bible remove every time that God repents in the Old Testament. Every one of them. I looked them all up. Every one of them. I looked at all the verses, and they remove every one where God repents in the Old Testament. In the New King James, it only appears 68 times, so 36 times it's missing. In the ESV, 66 times it's missing. It appears 66 times, 38 times it's missing. And then in the NIV, it appears 76 times, so 28 times it's missing. So the NIV must add a whole bunch of times it says the word repent in the New Testament, because I counted it up and I didn't feel like looking at all that. But they add the word repent in the New Testament a bunch. It's really weird. Because all those mentions of God, 32, are missing, but only 28 times are missing in the Old Testament. So obviously the NIV is the worst perversion of the Bible out there, besides some of these off-the-wall versions that nobody uses but homos. It's like the gender-neutral versions. So, you know, one more place I want to have you turn here that we can look at is Luke. No, it's not Luke. It's Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. So the Bible says in Romans 16, verse 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, that verse makes me think of John MacArthur right there, right off the top of my head, Billy Graham, all the guys that I listed. I mean, it just makes me think of all of them. It's like good, fair speeches by good words and their fair speeches to millions. You know, that's who it makes me think of. We need to mark them and avoid them. I had you turn to Romans 11. Let's see what these modern versions do to this. Look at verse 29. Verse 29. And this was kind of interesting because verse 29, it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So right there, it just says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So you can receive the gift of God without repenting of something. Like I said, if somebody's just in unbelief, they just have to believe, right? They don't have to turn from something. They just have to, in a sense, turn from their unbelief. But that wouldn't be considered repentance, you know? I mean, so, but let's just see what the New King James Version does to this. Look down at your Bible. It says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So, I mean, the word irrevocable doesn't even mean the same thing as repentance. It's like, that word is retarded. Because it has to translate from the same thing. How can you just put in a completely null and void word? But, I'm going to save you the thrill and agony. All of these versions change it to irrevocable. The ESV, the NIV, and the New King James Version all change that to irrevocable. So it's very clear in the Bible that, you know, repenting of your sins is not found anywhere. You know where it's found? In the Book of Mormon. Yeah. That's where they teach this stuff. All these false religions, Calvinism, the Mormons, Pentecostals, you have to turn from your sins, you got to do good works, all these things. It's just a work salvation, you know, and lest it creep in, you know, we need to stay sharp on our doctrine and know what the Bible says, that it's by faith alone, and not let this creep in. Don't let it come in. If you believe this, then you're not in the right place, because we believe the true gospel. We believe that it's by faith through grace, by grace through faith. You know, it's not something we have to earn. It's a gift. It's free. You know, repenting of your sins is a false gospel. Ultimately, it's work salvation. You know, there's all these false teachers preaching it. Even Baptists, which is a joke. They need to take Baptists off their name, close the doors, do something. I don't even want to see them. You know, we need to sound it out from the rooftops that we believe the true gospel. We need to tell people that it's good news. You know, we don't want it... Who wants to go to somebody and tell them they have to repent of all their sins? I've only went to one door and that happened. It wasn't me talking, but I was not happy. You know, that guy, I never want to see that guy again. but he was crazy. And he was all for the way of the master. I mean, that's what it was. He was always talking about Kirk Cameron. I didn't really know anything about Kirk Cameron or Ray Comfort at that time. But after that, I was just like, what's these guys' deal? I watched some of their videos, and it's just like, holy cow. They get people right there, and it's like, hey, give them the gift, give them the gift. And then they say, you got to repent of your sins. And it's like, what a joke. It's like, they get there, they get them all the way there, they have an opportunity to give the gospel, and they're just preaching it false. Mark them, avoid them. You know, you don't have to turn from your sins to be saved. It's by faith alone, you know, and that's it. That's all there is to it. So let's conclude the sermon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. I just pray that you'll help us to understand that your gift is free, Lord. I mean, it's pretty basic. Even a child can understand. But I pray that these people that creep in and preaching this false gospel would just get out. And if there's anybody here that believes this, that they would just not return, Lord, or either get right and get saved. I mean, if they believe that, they're not even saved, Lord. I pray that you'll be with us as we go home, give us safe travels. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.